Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's News Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. Hour number two of Nightside here on a Friday night, a chilly Friday night in New England. There was a development yesterday that we have talked about several times over the last couple of years, what is called the Transportation Climate Initiative. It was an idea that was bandied about now for a few years, and there were several groups and organizations, including the Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance, who worked against this boondoggle, as I considered it, and this group in Rhode Island that also is celebrating the death of the Transportation Climate Initiative. Joining us tonight is Mike Stenhouse. He is with the Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity. He's also a former Major League Baseball player, played for the Red Sox, a little bit for the Red Sox, for the Twins, for the Montreal Expos, and a Harvard graduate. Mike Stenhouse, welcome to Nightside. How are you?
Hey, Dan, great to be with you. It's a good day for freedom today.
It is a huge day for freedom. And by the way, I don't want any confusion. You know how when you studied Latin and you had, like, you talked about these guys in Rome, Pliny the Elder? This is Dan the Elder. I know you know the other Dan Ray.
Yeah, what a great guy. What a great job he did with the Tucker Red Sox. Is he still with the Worcester team?
Yes, sir. Still the general manager.
I didn't get up to see the stadium this year, but my dad fell ill the day we were supposed to go up, but I do expect to be there. And Dan's a great kid, and obviously comes from great genes. So good to be with you, Dan.
Well, my pleasure. I know you came from great genes. I remember your dad pitching for the Washington Senators, and if I recall correctly, he was an All-Star in 1962 or 63.
In fact, he was the first rookie major league pitcher ever to start an All-Star game, believe it or not.
I think you're right. I remember he started that game. I'm trying to remember if it was 62 or 63. I want to say
62.
It was 62.
Two All-Star games that year, and he started the second one in Wrigley Field.
All right. Well, Mike, you're a freedom lover. The Transportation Climate Initiative, we've talked about that a lot. Can you just, and I know what it is, but for the audience, can you give them sort of a quick synopsis? I know it was a deal where there were going to be, what was it, 13 states, including the District of Columbia, from Maine to Virginia, correct?
Yeah, basically, it's a cap and trade system. It's a carbon tax on gasoline where they were going to systematically limit the supplies of gasoline available to motorists and at the same time raise the prices, all with the express purpose of forcing people through financial disincentives to drive less. They just want fewer cars. In fact, the Department of Environmental Management director said in Rhode Island, the ultimate goal here is to eliminate gasoline. I want you to think about that. This is how crazy these people are. They think we can survive in a world in the next few years without gasoline-powered vehicles. And this is their goal. And every motorist, every person in New England and the East Coast should be thrilled today that the Transportation and Climate Initiative is now officially dead. And I don't even know if you know that just in the past few hours, the final nail was put in the coffin when our governor, Dan McKee, finally said, okay, we're out too. So that completes every state is now out. Rhode Island, unfortunately, was the last state standing. But for the time being, in the foreseeable future, the Transportation and Climate Initiative is dead.
Well, you know, a great achievement, but they'll come back with something else at some point.
Yes, they will.
The price of freedom is constant vigilance. There was going to be a tax, which I think the Baker administration in their press release yesterday said that it was estimated it could add 5 to 9 cents more to the price of a gallon of gasoline. That is a huge understatement. I saw numbers which said it could be anywhere from 18 to 54 cents a gallon. It was a wide range. What do you think realistically, if you folks had not fought against this and this thing had gone into realization, what do you think it would have been as an additional cost per gallon of gasoline in the short run?
Well, I actually did some studies on this. And let me say this first. You'll get a kick out of this, Dan. I played basketball, varsity basketball, with Charlie Baker at Harvard. Okay. He was 1 year older than me, but we were both on the varsity basketball team. So he's actually a pretty good friend of mine, but he is a liberal leftist when it comes to this climate stuff. And it's just complete dishonesty. Everything about this just like so much from the left, and it's dishonesty. They hope the media will perpetuate the false narrative. The false narrative is this. There's 2 points. First of all, this is going to do nothing to reduce carbon emissions, okay, at least in any way that has any impact at all on the overall global climate. I mean, we did the studies, and it's like 3 zeros of a 0.00018% impact on the world global emissions or something like that.
Yeah, there are six other continents, and we represent a very small slice of North America.
And the idiots here in Rhode Island actually think that little Rhode Island, 1 million people out of how many billion? 7 billion is actually going to do something to change. They actually think that we will have an impact on that. But anyway, the 5 to 9 cents you mentioned, I mean, that's the first year, right? And then it's scheduled to go up every year, and it would have to get up to 38, 40, 50 cents per gallon a year. I mean, per gallon, if you're ever going to have any kind of reduction in driving, because we know that gasoline prices, I'm an economics major from Harvard, whatever that's worth. But
I think it's worth quite a bit, Mike Stenhouse, I believe.
But gasoline prices are very inelastic, which means you can raise the prices, and then it's not going to matter. People are still going to drive. They're still going to go shopping. They still got to take their kids to school. They still got to go to work. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to have to pay more for gas and spend less on something else in my budget. So it's a very inelastic commodity. So everything has been dishonest about this from the get-go.
Well, this was a great victory for the people, for people who drive cars. I mean, if you live downtown and you work as a surgeon at Mass General, or you work at a law firm and you're a super partner who's been at the law firm for 30 years, you get a nice condo downtown and you never have to drive, you could be in favor of this. But for somebody who has to use their car, it would have been tough. You know what I'd like to do, Mike, if it's okay with you? I'd love to get you a couple of phone calls here, because this is a victory for drivers. It's a victory for consumers. Can you stick with me for one more segment here? I'll let you go at 9:30. Fair enough?
Yeah, whatever you need. This is great.
Okay, Mike Stenhouse. You want to talk to Mike Stenhouse, former Major League ball player who finished his career with the Red Sox back in the mid-1980s. He is with the Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity. He's talking my language, and I hope he's talking yours. The Transportation Climate Initiative, thankfully, is dead. I think we have to give some credit to Governor Chris Sununu of New Hampshire, because he was the only governor that I know who from the get-go said, no way, no how. Am I right? Am I correct in that recollection?
Yeah, absolutely. That was the first crack in the dam. And I know you've talked to the Mass Fiscal Alliance and Paul Craney. Paul Craney deserves so much credit. He organized, we were just one of, I don't know, 14, 15, 16 groups across the Eastern Seaboard, all the way from North Carolina to Maine, as well as some national organizations who banded together to fight this for the last 2.5 years. And Paul Craney was our leader. He deserves such great credit. But you're right. Governor Sununu was the first major politician, the first state to say, no way, we're not putting an extra gas tax on our people. Are you kidding me? You know, so that started. And then from there, it just state after state started abandoning it until, you know, this week now the final three states left. So, yep. So Sununu, big time.
Excellent. My guest, Mike Stenhouse, 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. Ladies' line is 617-931-1030. If you want to give a pat on the back to an organization and to a guy who has fought a really good fight here, he's also a pretty smart guy, join the conversation here on Nightside. Back just for about 10 more minutes. Dial in now. We'll get you on talking to ex-major leaguer Dave Stenhouse, Mike Stenhouse, the son of Dave Stenhouse, who is pretty good family, genes in that family when you talk about two major leaguers, father and son. Back on Nightside right after this.
It's Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's News Radio.
Is joint pain affecting the quality of your life? Does an old shoulder injury make it tough to lift a child or grandchild? And what about hip pain, making it more difficult for longer walks? Are everyday activities becoming a chore due to arthritis? I experienced that type of pain and discomfort for years before I found Boston Prolotherapy. I remember needing to hold on to railings when using stairs because of some pain in a balky left ankle. I no longer trusted my ankle to support me, but that's all changed since I started Prolotherapy treatments with Dr. Al Franke, believe it or not, 6 years ago. Because of Prolotherapy treatments at Boston Prolotherapy, my ankle feels much stronger and much more reliable. Are you a candidate for Boston for Prolotherapy? Well, you can find out. Find out easily from the comfort of your home. Just give Dr. Al Franke a call at 833-GO-PROLO. That's Dr. Al Franke, 833-G-O-P-R-O-L-O. Dr. Franke offers that complimentary telephone consultation to determine if Prolotherapy might work for you. Look, he will not waste his time. He will not waste your time. If he thinks he can help based upon the description of your symptoms, he'll invite you to stop by his office on Montville Avenue, right off of Route 93 in Stoneham, Massachusetts. So schedule that phone consultation by visiting bostonprolotherapy.com or just call Dr. Al Franke directly himself at 833-GO-PROLO. That's 833-G-O-P-R-O-L-O. A lot of professional athletes have been clients of his as well, including, of course, Ted Johnson of the New England Patriots, who swears by Dr. Al Franke. Talking about New England athletes, we're delighted to be joined by Mike Stenhouse. Mike, how did you get involved in this fight? Obviously, your organization speaks for itself, Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity. What drew you to this fight? I mean, you guys have succeeded and have beaten back this initiative, which was very well funded by the Green Energy Group, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, there's all kinds of money that went into this from the left. It was centered out of Georgetown in Washington, D.C. Yep. Although Charlie Baker, your governor, my former teammate, you know, was one of the driving forces behind it, as was our former governor, Gina Raimondo, who's now, you know, U.S. Commerce Secretary,
yes,
sadly. But this, you know, before we get to how we got involved, you know, this proves that when we do, you know, there's so much discouragement on you know, I don't know where you stand, but there's so much discouragement on the right among conservatives that this leftist, Marxist, radical environmentalist agenda, green agenda has taken over. But what this fight showed is that if we work together in an organized way, and again, Paul Craney at Mass Fiscal was the leader of all this, we can win victories. We can stop this because we have common sense and we have the wallet, you know, the budgets on our side. And if we just raise awareness properly. So, you know, I've been running this center. I founded the center in Rhode Island in 2011. So I've been at this for 10 years. We're part of a national network, state policy network. And I first learned about it at a meeting in Colorado in October 2019. And right after that, Paul contacted me, and we quickly put together an alliance. We had a meeting at Hampshire House in downtown Boston, right off Boston Common there, and the coalition to fight this TCI was launched. And every state partner did yeoman's work in their own state. And one by one, we started knocking off the states, the public pressure. I mean, how many people want to pay higher gasoline prices? How many people want that? You know, it's not a hard story, especially when you tell them there's no environmental benefit.
Yeah, you know, I mean, just for the record, I am on your side of the political aisle, and I certainly am on your side in terms of questions of freedom and liberty. And we did several shows on this, and we tried, because I always like to get the other side on and probe them for the weakness of their positions. We could never get anyone from the TCI to come on. They were very squirrely organization. What I mean by that is they don't have a direct phone number. You got to send them an email. And obviously, they were not looking. They were trying to keep this below the radar. And we tried to talk about it. We had Paul Craney on. We had your colleague, and I'm trying to remember his name, from Connecticut on one night a few months ago, just to alert people to what's going on. We talked with Governor Sununu about it as well. Because what happens here is that the left, in my opinion, Mike, they are persistent. whether they win or lose, they always keep coming back, and they move. You know, they're willing to move ahead 2 or 3 inches, then step back an inch, and then try to go another couple of inches. And the average person, this is what I believe, the average person is out there working for a living. They don't know sometimes what's going on. If you ask the average person what is the TCI, they wouldn't have a clue. In my opinion, if you ask them what you just said, do you want to pay higher gas prices? 95% are going to say no. Congratulations to you and congratulations to the group who worked so hard on this, because these victories, unfortunately, although they can be accomplished here in New England, a few and far between.
They're not many, especially up here in the Northeast, are there? They're not too many.
Yeah, and of course, that would have increased the price of not only gasoline going into your car, but it would have had a trickle-down effect on your home heating oil, transportation that would bring food to your stores. It just would have infiltrated throughout the system. And the insanity of it was that we represent, as you said, such a small little corner of the world. Someone should look at a globe and see, look at China, look at India, unless they're going to, they're never going to come along with this stuff. And, of course, we have the great, great ambassador here, former Senator John Kerry, who has never met a tax that he didn't like.
Well, let me tell you what's happening, Dan. We talk about the woke left, right? And
we sure do.
And it's out there, and it's real.
It is very real.
Real Americans are awakening. They're not woke. They're awakening to all the false narratives. I mean, just look at the other big story today, the false narratives that were spun about Kyle Rittenhouse.
Yep.
The false narratives here about this TCI agenda. I mean, narrative after narrative after narrative were fabricated, and people are beginning to wake up and say, wait a minute, we can't listen to these people anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's what went on here with this TCI. People, these governors and these politicians are finally realizing we can't fool the people with this bull crap anymore. Yeah. And this was always just about money. And in fact, this was always about Charlie Baker wanting money for his MBTA program. And he wanted other states to pay for it, by joining in the compact. And it was never about environmental stuff or anything like that. It was about money. It's always about money, it seems like.
It's about money, and it's about power, it's about political power. And as a matter of fact, Chris Sununu made that very point. He said, look, if Massachusetts wants to spend more money on the MBTA, congratulations, go ahead and go to it. Mike, I'll let you go with this. Last night, I don't know if you heard this story about this professor at Old Dominion University, which is really not that old. The university was founded in 1938. Did you hear the story about this guy last night?
No, I didn't.
Well, he's a guy there. He happens, we're not exactly sure, but he's transgender, okay? Does not want to accept either the he or she pronoun, wants to be called the plural they. He wants to redefine the definition of pedophiles. And he is basically saying that pedophiles should not be called pedophiles because there's a pejorative, connotation to pedophiles. Tell me something I don't know. And he wants to have pedophiles called minor attracted people.
Yeah.
Think about that for the euphemism. And the left is so good at this stuff, and we
just
do this
like birthing people, kind of like birthing people.
Yes, right. We're not going to call them women. They're just birthing people. And I do hope people are waking up. We try to wake people up every night of the week, well, Monday through Friday here on Nightside. And we'll have you back on. You've been a delight to talk to, and it's, again, congratulations on this victory. This is a big victory. Whether people listening tonight or not realize it, your organization has saved a lot of drivers up and down the East Coast a lot of money over the next few years. How can folks get in touch with the Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity?
Yeah, our website is pretty simple, rifreedom.org. And if you want to get right to our TCI page, just rifreedom.org/TCI. We've amassed all kinds of research. We've done studies. We've got all kinds of memes and share squares up there. So we've done a lot of work on this, again, led and inspired by Paul Craney up there. But this is a victory. We are celebrating tonight. I knew I was coming on your show, so I only had one bourbon before. I'm about to go have another one right now, if that's okay with you.
That is absolutely okay with me. I wish I was there to share one with you, let me tell you.
Maybe next spring or summer we could even mix in a few minutes of Red Sox baseball or something like that.
I am always up. I'm a huge baseball guy, believe me. I go back to your dad's generation, believe me. I remember, you know, the guys that your dad, you know, played with the new Washington Senators after Washington Senators had moved to Minnesota. He didn't have much behind him, but he had a hell of a couple of seasons in the major leagues and all-star selection. So I hate to ask the question, you said he wasn't doing well.
He's recovered.
You know, there was one or two ways that question was going to go. I had to ask the question. No. How's he doing? Good? Better?
Yeah, he had an infection, you know, like a lot of seniors get in the urinary tract, and we couldn't go to the game that night, and we never got it rescheduled, but he's much better, and he's 88 and doing great.
Wow. I was introduced to him briefly at a Paw Sox game a couple of years ago. I was with Ted Lepsio, who was one of his contemporaries.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Ted, unfortunately, we lost about a year and a half ago.
We lost so many, yeah.
Yeah, a great guy. You read the papers, and all the heroes of your childhood are passing on, and it's pretty scary.
Mambo Cat, and
with Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to. Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo, and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
One of the great characters of the Western world, Bill Mombouquette.
Yes, he was. Dick Raddatz before that. I mean, gosh, I mean, what these guys are just big icons to me. You know, I don't know if you know, I ran the Red Sox fantasy camp for a year.
Really? And, oh, no.
Back, oh, God, what year? Mid-90s, somewhere in there. And I had all those guys. All those guys, quote, work for me, even though they were the bosses of the whole thing.
Oh, that's great.
Raddatz and Gary Bell and Mombouquette and Bill Lee. I mean, we've never laughed so much in your whole life.
Bell is a great character as well. I know Monbo very well. You know, Monvo's politics were pretty close to ours too, Mike, by the way.
I'm sure you know. I never talked politics with those guys back then, yeah.
They did after a while, that's for sure. Mike Stenhouse, thanks so much. I look forward to meeting you someday. We'll see you at a Polar Park or at Fenway, okay?
Yeah, let's do that, Dan. Hey, thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much for being on, and congratulations for what you did for everyone here in New England. Thanks so much.
Thank
Mike Stenhouse, ladies and gentlemen, a former Major League ball player who now runs the Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity, rifreedom.org. You know, if at the end of the year you're looking to support an organization, might be one, those of you who are interested in politics, you may want to look at that one. All right, when we get back, we are going to go to the story of the day. I think the TCI story is a very important story, and that's why we did it. But there was a decision today in Wisconsin in the Kyle Rittenhouse case. I would love to hear from you on this one. We'll open up the phone line, 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. I learned a long time ago, you don't second-guess a jury unless you've sat in the courtroom for the entirety of the trial. From what I could see, I believe this jury came down with a just decision today. Not many of our politicians here in Massachusetts seem to agree with me on that, so we'll read some of their tweets to you, more importantly, I want to hear from you. Did the jury in Wisconsin get it right, or are they wrong? 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. My name is Dan Ray. Let's get it going right after the break. Kyle Rittenhouse case, your reaction. The Kyle Rittenhouse verdict, your reaction tonight on Nightside.
Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's news radio.
All right, so the verdict came down today. All five counts, Kyle Rittenhouse was acquitted of the counts that included counts of murder. Could have landed him in prison for life. It was pretty dramatic. I was listening on the radio, actually, in my car when the verdicts were read. Watching the videotape, you saw him collapse literally into the arms of his lawyer. I think things remain relatively quiet tonight in Kenosha, Wisconsin, which is a very good thing. This time, there's a substantial presence of the National Guard to discourage people from coming out and causing problems. So as we'll continue to monitor that, I'd love to know the verdict. I'm sure most of you have an opinion. Was it the right verdict or was it the wrong verdict? And I'd love to hear from you, irrespective of what your point of view is. All points of view are welcome here. The verdict, should have he been convicted of anything, something, or nothing, or everything? I guess those are the four choices. Let's go first to, by the way, 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030, and the ladies' line is 617-931-1030. We'll go right to the ladies' line right now to Carolyn in Westboro. Hi, Carolyn. How are you tonight? Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm delighted to be able to talk to you.
Well, I'm delighted you took the time to call. What's your thought when you watched the verdict come in today?
Well, it's interesting because before I watched the trial, I thought he had killed two black people. And then when I watched the trial, I realized that's not true. And I missed the testimony from the EMT that pulled a pistol on him.
Yep.
And I missed that. But when he said he pointed the pistol at Carl first, I was like, oh, boy. But then I watched the rest of the trial, and I watched Carl's testimony. And I've heard since then all this stuff about white tears, blah, 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 blah. But when that young man was testifying, and he was in that moment when he was trying to describe them coming at him,
yeah,
I could feel it in my bones. And I was like, he didn't make that up.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm actually kind of tearing up right now because I was tearing up in that moment.
Yeah.
And
you know, Carolyn, it's funny. I think that he could have been convicted for bad judgment.
Yes.
I'm not sure that it was, and I don't think it was a smart thing for him to go there.
No.
But once he was there and found himself in the middle of that maelstrom. And by the way, the authorities on that night back in August of 2020 tended to back away.
They were standing off.
They're standing off. And
when he ran to them and he was, you could tell he was afraid. They were chasing him. When he ran to the police, they were like, go back. It was like, holy cow.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he shouldn't have been there. You know, he shouldn't have brought the rifle, but there were already 2 days of riots.
Right, but remember, there was a lot of misinformation. They said that he brought the rifle across state lines. He did not bring the rifle across state lines.
Yeah, I know. And by the way, the state line thing is crazy because it's like, you know, going from New Hampshire to Vermont. I mean, his father lived in Kenosha.
Yep.
It's not like he traveled hundreds of miles.
No, right across. I want to play. This is some of, since you mentioned this, this is some of the misinformation that MSNBC has broadcast. This is just I want to get your reaction to this. These are statements that MSNBC made that are just flat out wrong. There's just no other way to describe them. Cut number five, please, Rob.
Rittenhouse, the 17-year-old kid, just running around, shooting and killing protesters.
White, Trump-supporting, MAGA-loving, Blue Lives Matter, social media partisan, 17 years old, picks up a gun, drives from one state to another with the intent to shoot people.
That murderous attack from Kyle Rittenhouse.
That white supremacist 17-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse.
So this is, everyone should know that the three victims in this case happen to be white.
I know. So the reason I called today was because I was driving in my car and I was listening to your radio station.
Okay.
And they quoted Michelle, is it Michelle Wu?
Yes, the yes. mayor of Boston.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. She's saying there's no accountability, and meaning, you know, somebody killed somebody and there's no accountability. Then they quoted another local politician that said he was chasing people and shooting them. And I'm like, no, that's not true. That's not true. Yeah. And it was your own. I mean, I don't want to get you into trouble, but it was your own radio station that was, and they were talking about peaceful protesters.
Yeah.
Well, I think when it started, there were peaceful protesters, mm-hmm. but it turned into burning and riot. Oh, it's awful.
Yeah. No, let me just try to explain. Okay.
Okay.
On what we call the newsroom side of the house, Mayor Michelle Wu today tweeted the following after the verdict. This is what she tweeted, quote, "Our country aches for accountability. My heart is with those traumatized by Kenosha and the failures of our justice system." Now, I was surprised to see Michelle Wu be that strong in her statement. And the reason I'm surprised is one of the things I learned. She's a lawyer. I'm a lawyer. And I was a reporter, and I learned that unless you're actually in the courtroom and watch a trial from the perspective of the jurors, and only then can you understand, are there some juries that get it wrong? Yeah, there are. But in our system of justice, the obligation, the affirmative obligation is on the prosecutor to prove the elements of a crime, all of them, each of them, beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, Michelle is a graduate of Harvard Law School. She should understand that better than anyone.
I can't believe she said that.
Well, she
has a right to say what. But you know what? She should have watched the trial because, I mean, I know the prosecutors.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Pardon my language, screwed up.
They made promises to the jury in their opening statement, which were blatantly incorrect. They said in their opening statement that Rittenhouse had shot the first victim in the back as the victim ran away. I mean,
I know.
That was unprovable because the prosecutors were abysmal.
Yes. But you know what? They're going to say that he got off because of that.
Yeah, I know.
But I don't believe that. He got off because the truth came out.
Yeah,
It wasn't because the prosecutors screwed up, which they did. But if you watched the trial, the truth came out, and that's what the jury saw.
All right. All right, Carolyn. So I appreciate you taking the time to call. We'll continue for a little while talking about this case. Thanks so much. Have you ever called my show before? Is this your first time?
No, I'm a first-time caller.
Well, I wish you'd told me, because we always like to give a round of applause from our virtual studio audience to our first-time callers. Thank you very much.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks again. We'll talk again. Okay. Thanks very much.
Good night. Bye-bye.
All right, 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. We have lived with this story since August 25th. In some form or fashion, 2020. Most of us, when we heard what happened originally, I think were just horrified. And particularly depending upon what television stations we were watching, we were angry, we were appalled. The more that you learned about the case, I think the more that you realized it was not as first presented. Again, if you have an opinion on that decision today, here's the number, 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. Carolyn obviously thought it was a legitimate decision by a jury. And again, to understand the legal system, you have to understand the burden of proof is on the prosecution in these cases. You are when you are indicted, presumed innocent, you bring into the courtroom with you a presumption of innocent until proven guilty. And even if you think that what Kyle Rittenhouse did was absolutely morally wrong, you have to look at it from the point of view of the legal obligation. And I know that it's not easy, but remember, the jury does not come back in a case like this and say, Kyle Rittenhouse is innocent. They came back today and said, not guilty on five counts. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. Bring it on, whatever your point of view. We're going to talk about this. This is the story of the day, so we'll talk about this into the next hour. Feel free to jump on board. Got a couple of open lines. I'm a little surprised at that. The ladies' line is 617-931-1030. Your thoughts. I'm sure all of you have seen some of the video of it today. Express your opinion. Coming back on Nightside.
You're on Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's news radio.
Okay, back to the phones. Let's go to Matthew in Plymouth. Matthew, next on Nightside. Go right ahead, sir.
Dan, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Matthew. What's your take today on the jury's decision out in Wisconsin?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm relieved. I'm glad that he was found not guilty. I feel like it's good standing for self-defense.
Well, every self-defense is going to depend upon every set of circumstance. It doesn't mean that people will always prevail. In this particular set of circumstances, in Wisconsin, under the law in Wisconsin, he prevailed. But don't assume that his success or his lawyer's success would necessarily protect you in every sort of situation like this, okay? Don't.
Oh yeah, definitely wouldn't in Massachusetts for sure. But
well, it isn't. It's the facts. It's the facts of the case, Matthew. Much more so as well as the law, but it's the facts of the case. And he was, you know, he's a very very lucky young man. He had good lawyers who I think presented his case very well. But I'm going to put you down as you agree. You and Carolyn both agree with the verdict. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Talk to you soon.
Hey, Dan, hold on. Do you remember? I called in last week, and I said the same thing. I said I watched it live, and I thought that he would be not guilty.
I remember the call. You were correct.
Hey, I'm happy about it. You know, some people might not be, but I feel
well, like... Well, we'll see what other folks have to say. We'll keep it going here. All right, thanks, Matthew. Appreciate your call. We'll talk soon.
Bye,
you
Dan.
Too. Thanks. Good night. Let me go to Carol in Ontario, Canada. See what Carol thinks up in Ontario. Hi, Carol. How are you?
Hi there, I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. What's your thought on this, Carol?
Okay, well, I'm actually really confused because I've just been hearing so many differing facts, I guess, to this
yep.
case. And
okay.
I just want to mention something about what's being set up here. I was just listening to a radio show that I listen to a lot up in, up here in Toronto area. And
yep.
Two things. They had a few people discussing it, and one thing that they were discussing was that they believed that Rittenhouse had no reason to go to Kenosha. He had no family, no reason to go there.
His dad, factually, as I understand it, his dad, his parents are separated. His mom lived across the state in Illinois. His dad lived in Kenosha, and he apparently also worked a summer job as a lifeguard at a swimming pool in Kenosha. So he did have a bit of a connection with Kenosha.
Yeah, well, I did. I listened to your show a lot, too. After I listened to theirs, I listened to your show around 9:30, 10.
All right.
And then that's what I've been hearing on your show. And I'm getting kind of tired of our media up here. I'm telling you, I don't know. I can never really understand the facts half the time because they're all over the place. But they were adamant that that was the case.
Well, I can just tell you that factually, that's where his father lived, and he did have a city very close. Someone can say he has no relationship, but his dad lived there, and he worked apparently as a lifeguard at a swimming pool there. Do I think he exercised good judgment going there under the circumstances? No. Okay?
No.
But you don't get convicted. It's not a crime yet in America to exercise bad judgment, because frankly most of us would be in jail if exercising bad judgment was a crime.
And the other point was that they also said that they're saying here that his mother gave him the gun
Not so.
He took to Kenosha.
Nope, not so. A friend of his in Kenosha had a gun, and he gave him the gun. So, yeah, I mean, those are the facts.
Yeah.
Those are the facts of the case. And our jury system is a pretty good system. So, Carol, do me a favor. Keep calling my show, will you? I really appreciate hearing from folks in Ontario.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for verifying those facts.
You're more than welcome. Thank you, Carol. Thanks. We're going to steal an extra minute here for Gary and Wuber. And Gary, next on Nightside, go right ahead.
Yeah, Dan, quickly, I'm confused. I'm happy for the kid. I'm also mad. Help me out, Dan.
Sure.
Is it true that over the age of 16 in Wisconsin, you can own a gun as a kid?
I believe that in Wisconsin, you can have a rifle, and the AR-15 that he had is characterized as a rifle. If he had had a Glock, you know, semi-automatic handgun, that would have been illegal. That's my understanding of the law. I'm not an expert on Wisconsin law, but that is what I believe I heard the judge say at the trial.
Okay, now that type of gun, is that strictly for hunting?
I believe it's how the gun is characterized. Obviously, very few people are going to go out with an AR-15 and hunt. And when you and I think about a rifle, you think about a gun that you might use, either a shotgun if you're going to hunt, pheasant or something. I'm not a big hunter. Or if you were going to go out to try to get a deer, you would be using, probably a .22 or something like that, a long gun. And again, I know I'm showing my ignorance in terms of the weapons here, but an AR-15, however, destructive that weapon can be, it is characterized in Wisconsin, as I understand it, as simply a long gun, a rifle.
Okay, question this. Was he carrying it like in the backside of his back, like it was an archery?
No. I think he had a strap on and he had it over his shoulder. I don't think he was carrying it as a pack of arrows that you might carry a group of arrows and pull one out of the pouch that contained the arrows. No.
Okay, let me wrap this up, and because I got something to say to you that I think you're going to find highly intelligent out of me, and here it goes, because I know I'm controversial. Here we go. Is where he did that, he went to a rally, correct?
He went to a protest. He was not going there to participate in the protest, Gary. He was going, his words, I'm just telling you his words, to protect property, life and property, okay?
Okay, fine. What I'm getting at is this. If that's the case in the state of Wisconsin, that you can have that type of a weapon and so forth, right? I mean, face the facts. You're a father, and
Gary, I hate to do this to you, but we are almost into the newscast. So I'll tell you what, I'll hold you over into the 10, but I got a break for the news. Okay, coming back after the 10, and more phone calls. Feel free to light up these lines. Coming back.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.